We like to think that Indiana has become a hotbed of new ideas about how you make government more effective or save tax dollars or build an economic future. And certainly one great new idea that's really taken root in Indiana, maybe first, thanks to Coach Ron Hunter, is the one that Manny Ahomey and the folks from Samaritan's Feet came up with. And we are just so proud, first, of the coach who saw the potential here and literally has, in the course of making this a worldwide phenomenon, has brought worldwide renown to IUPUI and to all of our state. And secondly, that so many other folks have pitched in. This will soon be Indianapolis will soon be the premier warehouse and distribution site for this exploding program, which is bringing footwear to needy folks now all over the world. So I just want to tell you how proud we are, Manny. Congratulations on a wonderful idea. And Coach, can't thank you enough for being the one to see the possibilities here and being so shameless and uninhibited. And now you got all the rest of us doing it. And we're just very, very grateful that in our small way, our own little donation and certainly the work that the state is doing with you now at the warehouse, we're glad to pitch in. Thanks so much for both of you.
Thanks.
Well, thanks, Governor. I really appreciate the shoes and all the help. And this weekend, we wanted to raise 1 million shoes for children. And it's not just about 1 million shoes that we're going to give to children around the world. It's for most of the children to be their first pair of shoes, but it's hope. And so that we talk about whether it's Martin Luther King weekend or inauguration coming up, but it's giving a child their first pair of shoes and their first pair of socks is hope that they'll receive. And so the state of Indiana has been terrific. And all the places around the world that I've contacted and sent donations, none bigger than this state. This state has been absolutely terrific from the media part of it to every single person, whether it's a high school coach or AAU coach that has decided to do this. So I would hope that one of the things that I would ask for the rest of the people in our state, maybe today, just in helping us out, if you're sitting at home or if you're at work, take your shoes off today. Make it Indiana Barefoot Day. Just walk around with your bare feet. And if I could afford it, I would do pedicures for everybody in the state. But I can't afford it. You can look at my feet and tell. I need one. But I am just so excited and overwhelmed by what's happened. And I just personally want to thank the people in the state of Indiana for allowing us to thank the governor, because you have no idea what you're doing for a child today. So thank you.
Thank you. And Governor, again, I want to thank you personally for all that the state has done. And Coach Hunter, you know, when we called you that night, you thought we had a couple of too much cocktails. You know, calling them at 11 o'clock saying, would you use your platform to become the voice for the voiceless kids around the world and help us coach your basketball game in your bare feet? And you said that you wanted to be a man, you know. And I came to your office, and right behind your desk was a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King, and said, no, that man helped us raise 40,000 pairs of shoes. And we're standing here today, over a couple hundred thousand pairs, millions of shoes. So we're excited. And also, the state came true in a big way. Our biggest warehouse is going to be based right here. I mean, the inmates that we working there, we were telling them, you know, like, it's more than them just helping us move forklifts and move shoes. It's the fact that what they're doing help contribute that somebody else around the world will have hope. And that's powerful. And to be able to tell the people around the world that Indiana is bigger than just basketball. This is a state that cares about the needy and cares about the world. And I'm just honored to be affiliated. And this is going to be my second home. So on behalf of all the children around the world, Governor, I want to present this piece of our own branded shoe so you can be somewhere in your office. Every time you look at that, think and pray for those impoverished kids, 300 million around the world. I thank you for believing it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the chance to help out.
Thank you.
Questions for these? Am I the first governor to, you know?
Yes, you are first governor. First barefoot governor.
I gotta say that. This is the first governor in the world to go barefoot. So we got to put that out there. It's first governor. So that's
like,
impressive.
I mean, like, if you got, I don't know, Krzyzewski doing this, don't you think Schwarzenegger ought to come behind?
He's got to come behind you. He's got to come behind you. Well, super. Well, we thank you. We thank you.
Questions for these men?
Coach, how many coaches do you have participating this weekend?
By the end of the weekend, we had talked to her. We hope to have over 1,000 coaches, college, high school, AU, to participate. Brad Stevens here at Butler is also going to go. The national game on CBS, you'll see tomorrow, I mean on Sunday at noon, you'll see coaches going barefoot on television, ESPN. So we've got almost, we'll have close to about 1,000 coaches that will participate in this event, and that's just absolutely amazing.
And is that purely to draw attention to it, or does that actually bring in donations when
Well, what we hope is that, A, it does bring attention to it, but we hope that people will go to the website at SamaritansFeet.org and feel not so much obligated, but wanted to help and buy a pair of shoes for $19. And so we can send these shoes to not only to people, whether it's in Africa, but also to help here. One of the things that Monday we're going to do is that for the first time in this state, we're going to give shoes away at the Wheeler Boys and Girls Club. To children, because right now our economy is so bad that we want to be able to help the kids who can afford a pair of shoes right now. And so, I told these guys that if we're going to do it anywhere in this country first, we wanted to do it in Indianapolis. So we're going to do that on Monday. And I'm going to take my players and some people at IEPY. We're going to go to the Wheeler Boys Club and deliver shoes, some of the first pair of shoes we got here on Monday afternoon.
Governor, for those of us who aren't aware, can you tell us exactly what you and the state are doing?
Yeah, specifically, Penn Products, which is our prison industries program, which we're constantly looking for ways to help people who are incarcerated learn a skill and so they can be productive and law-abiding when they get done. The same program that built that table over there, for instance, has become, the largest single warehouse now for Samaritan's Feet. And Manny was referring to the fact that there are at least, a half dozen at any time of our inmates who will be working in that warehouse, transporting, preparing for shipment, receiving the shoes. So that's been our latest step.
Where's the warehouse?
It's out on the west side. Somebody help me out.
Corporate Drive. It's on Lakeside Drive.
Yeah.
71st and 465.
Yeah.
Governor, have you donated shoes yourself? How
yeah.
many pairs of shoes?
Or? Yeah, well, however many, a certain number of dollars brought. I was prepared to bring in a lot of shoes, but mine are pretty beat up. I tend to wear them too long, and so I was told the better way was, and we took up a collection that involved folks who work here and also many of our cabinet.
How many pairs of shoes did you end up with?
Well, somebody said 30. How many? What are we up to now? 60. Sorry, 60 pairs. Sorry.
And do those all go to Wheeler Boys and Girls Club, or do these go to?
Yeah, actually, I mean, many of this is going to go right here in the community because, like Coach Hunter said, I mean, this is a tough economic time. I mean, their parents are trying to decide between buying groceries and buying shoes, and athletic programs looking for tennis shoes for their kids to play sports. So this is a phenomenal opportunity to bless the kids right here in the state of Indiana.
Governor,
yeah.
If we could, we ask you about some
yeah.
issues.
You guys may want to stand yeah. back. anyway, round of applause for these guys. We knew it'd be you, though.
what were your thoughts on the House Democrats' road construction bill that passed out the Rosemary's
Petition? Oh, the bill to nowhere? I guess I just treat it more as a political gesture. It's not a serious idea. Probably the single least defensible piece of legislation that I've seen. You know, basically, it would import to Indiana Washington pork barrel politics. It's all earmarking and pork. It wouldn't create a single job, probably cost jobs, shifting money from one pocket to another. So we'll take it in some good humor, but I think you're probably writing your last story about it.
Was Carl Browning making a political gesture when he said it would shut down all state highway construction?
No, he was giving an accurate response to a rather senseless proposal.
Governor, how should, if Indiana gets any federal economic stimulus dollars, who should decide how that's spent? Should it be Washington, the legislature, counties, you, or?
No, I think it ought to be a mutual process. And, you know, now we have seen at least a starting proposal. And let me just make a few comments about it. First of all, it is of astonishing size. I'm not saying that as a matter of economics, that's wrong. We'll find out. But please note this. In many states, they'll need all this money just to break even or pay the their bills. Indiana, being solvent, has a different, will face a different set of decisions. There's over $3 billion, as best we can tell, for Indiana in this bill. And it will be really important to be prudent and careful about the way we spend it. It's an astonishing amount of money. There's $800 million for education. Anybody who's been worried about education funding ought to can relax. There's $750,000 for roads and bridges. We're the state that already is breaking records for investment, so this will come on top. And some of that appears to be marked off for localities, which is probably a good idea, so people who are interested in that can relax. There's $1.75 billion apparently in Medicaid funds. And once again, our budget can balance without that. So we'll all, I think, need to work together, think together carefully about how to use this money. One last point. This is one-time money. It will come and it will go in 2 years or less. And so it's very important, particularly since we don't need it, or much of it, to maintain the services of today. It's very important to invest it wisely in one-time expenditures. And so that opens up lots of possibilities. There are lots of things we'd like to do in this state, all of us. And let's work together again to spend it as effectively as possible. I'm going to give you one last comment. The bill, as I have seen it, is Washington at its worst. It is loaded with pork. It is loaded with things that have nothing to do with putting anybody to work. And one can hope that some of that will get cleaned out before those bills are sent to our children and grandchildren. But the way Washington works, this is probably a starting point, and not a from which they'll build.
Will this be more difficult for Indiana than a state that simply has to apply to this deficit? There's no argument for somebody like Arnold, but here it will.
Well, it's an interesting irony. You know, for the states that are so dead broke that they'll need all this money just to try to keep the lights on, maybe in a way that's a simpler set of decisions. But we wouldn't want to trade places with that. We will have here an opportunity, and we ought to all work together on it, to invest this printed money for our state's future. And so let's all talk together about the best ways to do that. And let's be very, very careful not to create a hole for ourselves 2 years from now when this money no longer is coming.
Have you and your staff yet created a list of priorities?
Yes, we've been working on it. But we still need to understand what strings and categories are involved here before we really be ready to move forward. But if there are not too many strings attached, then I think there's some really exciting things that I hope Democrats, Republicans, everybody could get together on that are directly related to growth in the near term and a stronger Indiana for the long term.
Going back to the transportation meeting yesterday, the transportation commissioner, Carl Brown, frustrated not just Democrats but Republican lawmakers as well with the way that he spoke to the committee yesterday, feeling concerns about how that relationship between the Department of Transportation and the lawmakers.
Listen, for 5 years, it's been from the other side, it's been attack, 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 and never an answer of their own. And we've just learned to let it slide now. We're not going to let falsehoods go unresponded to. The public gets misinformed that way. But, you know, people who throw bricks so constantly ought to, you know, can you dish it out and not take it a little bit? And all he was doing was replying to things that, believe me, he's heard much, much worse, and so have we all for several years.
Is there a responsible way to do a state stimulus? And I understand the commission's objections has to do with the way this bill is structured. If it doesn't do some of those things, is there a responsible way to do it?
Listen, the one thing that any state can do that might lead to some jobs now in the future is infrastructure. We are the nation's leaders. The people who were attacking Secretary Brennan yesterday did their best to see that we would, if we'd listened to them, we'd have been as broke as those other states, unable to repair the roads and bridges that we had. And so in that category, Yes, and I'm glad finally folks who were wrong, so very wrong, about major moves in the toll road have got the message. So now let's move forward, and we'll have this gusher of federal money on top of the strong position Indiana already has. That's a great category to cooperate in.
Governor, I think, is there a way to front load the state funding, either from major moves or some other source?
Indiana is the only state in America with a fully funded, record-breaking road plan before any of this federal printed money arrives. We've been working for years now to spend it, to invest it as fast as you can do that without spilling too much. The real obstacles to what you call front-loading are the federal rules and all the processes you have to go through to acquire the land and satisfy the environmental paperwork and those are the things that will every state will struggle to do quickly. You may remember when this all started, I sent a letter and said, please, two things. If you're going to do this, and that'd be fine with me, one, don't use the highway formula. It sends the money to the wrong places. They're apparently planning to use the highway formula, and Indiana will be shortchanged again. Two, throw out the rule book. You want people employed quickly. We know how to do it, but you make it very, very hard. The federal government with this massive set of requirements over specification. And so far I have not seen evidence, but we can hope that they will allow us, really, help us to move quickly.
On the road spending, some, it sounds like, worry that they'll just take the federal money, build what was planned, and then stockpile the major moves money that you would spend anyway. Can you explain maybe the process that would be used with the money that was going to be spent? Spent out, you know, and this would be additional, and also what preparations NDOT has to make to make additional projects ready to go.
Well, we've been working on this for quite some time. We will try our very best to go deeper, quicker into the list of priority projects that we have, and it's another version of Norm's question, really. We in Indiana. In other states, they'll need this money just to pay for the stuff they've been deferring, the bridges that are crumbling and the roads they can't repair, and so forth. They're back. They have a back order. In Indiana, it's different. We're already breaking records for new investment, but that doesn't mean we cannot add to that, and I hope in a short time frame.
In terms of the Medicaid funding, how do we prepare it to use? It's not like you can add additional roads on Medicaid.
Well. Once again, because Indiana has a balanced budget and some money in the savings account, our situation is different. We don't need that money to just keep the lights on, as most other states will. And so there's a real opportunity, but it'll really require some good thought as to how we use that. I want to use it to put people to work. And remember that that money will only be coming for a very limited period of time, a couple years. What we must not do, states have made this mistake in the past, including this one, is build it into the ongoing budget of the state, because in 2 years, when it stops coming, we'll be stuck with bills we can't pay, and we're not going to let ourselves get in that position.
Governor, does that mean that your education budget won't be so much flatlined since there is more federal money out there, or are you going to ask schools to still stick with what you folks propose?
Well, let me just make this point. If a bill like the proposal happens, we're looking at $800 million of new education money. If we maintain our funding, suddenly you get a huge surge of education money in the state. Now, the question is, in 2 years, that money won't be there again. So we'll have to be very, very careful about our approach to this. But as I said earlier, if there's going to be a federal bill like this, people have been worried about adequate funding in education can certainly breathe easy.
Talk about one-time funding, and that sort of lends itself to construction, and that's the area that you've been urging Indiana schools to not spend so much money in. Is there an early year?
Well, this money will flow, much of it, as far as I can tell, would flow straight to schools through Title I and the Disabilities Act and so forth, and presumably would be used not for construction but for ongoing activities. I haven't changed my view at all about school construction in Indiana. We still need to do some, but when we do it, we shouldn't build the Rolls-Royce version as we were doing in the past.
Governor,
Governor, the advocates of the Ohio River Bridges have hired lobbyists to try to make sure that the funding that has been allocated in the 10-year plan for the bridges will indeed stay there as Kentucky tries to figure out what it's going to do. Do they have a reason to be concerned that that money could be reallocated for something else?
Well, with apologies to whatever lobbyists are being paid for this, I don't think they needed to spend that money.
Governor, the list of earmarks in Representative Austin's bill did not include Interstate 69 and the other big major moves projects. Do you have any concern that there is some House Democratic caucus position against I-69?
Well,
or is this just a bargaining chip that they're going to try to use for negotiation purposes?
First of all, if the House Democratic caucus had had its way, there would never have been an I-69. They voted against the only measure, the toll road major moves transaction, that gave I-69 a prayer. And they did so more than once. So in this case, I wouldn't worry about that bill. It is a bill to nowhere. Really, you can call off the competition for worst bill of the session. I mean, we have a winner.
Governor, gas tax receipts are down for everyone. Do the Democrats have a legitimate point when they say that local government is hurting, they need more money for their own road projects? Should something be done along those lines, or would you just prefer maybe some of that one time?
Listen, of course, there's a point. You may recall that when we did succeed in passing the major moves bill over united Democratic opposition, the first thing we did when we had such a knockout bid was shared it with local government. And I've said over and over that we know there are needs out there, we want to address them. The federal proposal that we saw yesterday has a lot of money, apparently about $350 million, best we can tell, that would go to local government, and I think it's a good thing. Let me put it this way. If the final bill gives full discretion to the state over something like $800 million, I will propose carving out a significant part of it for the local needs. I think they are real, and we've addressed it before, and I'm eager to address it further.
So, Governor, with this economic stimulus from the federal government, is there
how hard it is to give serious answers to questions? I'm not sure you guys take me seriously anyway, but like this, I mean, like,
I was trying to focus on you from the waist up.
Yeah. I don't look very good that way either, so.
So is there any reason for the legislature or the state to tap into its reserve fund now that you guys have a pretty good idea?
Yeah, absolutely not. There wasn't before, and if in fact there's $3 billion plus coming to the state, setting aside the wisdom of that bill or all parts of it, if there are $3 billion more coming, that ought to end the argument about the reserves. Call it a happy outcome. Those who wanted to take the chance to start blowing through some of our reserves for this interest or that interest or this project, and we now have another resource. And again, we don't need it here to keep the lights on. So we can use it. Let's use it wisely, but we can use it for other things. And all the things people wanted to spend the reserves on have good merit. A lot of them I want to do too. Now we see a way to do so. Maybe.
Governor, the Roads Committee hearing yesterday was one of two hearings that seem to be designed to call into question policies by your administration, the Labor Committee being the other one. And you seem to be announcing a new approach to things here this morning. Should we prepare for a new level of partisanship?
No, you guys always want that. But, there's nothing, I don't find anything new. We've been under attack and criticism with no positive answers for 4+ years. Same old, same old. In a couple of cases, there's no sense for our appointees to sit there and leave uncorrected some grossly false statement or assertion, or leave unanswered some bogus suggestion. But that's all in the give and take, and we take it in stride, and I think everybody else should too.
The risk of making everybody listen to another question, following up on the bridges project.
Yeah.
Are you saying that there is no concern that if Kentucky doesn't get its money together, that Indiana will decide, hey, this is never going to happen, so we're going to move on to something else?
We're fully committed to the project. We are in the fortunate position of having money set aside, and it's going to stay there. What is apparently about to happen in the federal bill only should make that more secure. I will say we've had, in the last 2 months, some really productive conversations with Kentucky about ways to move forward together on this, and we may have some joint proposal sometime fairly soon. Very, very high priority for us, has been and remains that.
Governor, on the unemployment trust fund, insurance trust fund, can we expect to see any proposal from your administration on what you think should be done to replenish that fund?
Well, you know, I've been pretty clear in giving guidance. I've talked to lots of legislators, talked to the speaker about it just 3 days ago. He fully knows my views. You know, all parties are going to have to participate in solving this long-standing problem. You know, everybody knows the seeds of this were sown many years ago when somebody created a system with the fourth highest benefits in America and relatively low taxes. It's been leaking money even when very few people were unemployed. So the time has arrived. Unfortunately, it arrived during a recession, but the time has arrived. We have to deal with it. So the answer is going to have to be benefits that are somewhere closer to the national average, taxes, fees on business, which are more equitably shared. We've got, I think, some small businesses paying too much, some big businesses taking a little bit advantage of the system. Everybody, I think, knows the elements of an answer, and we will get one.
Everyone knows the elements, but no one seems willing to be the first to suggest a specific solution tax increase.
Legislators said to me starting a long time ago, let us work on this. This is well suited to the legislative give and take process. So I still think they're right. There have been some issues in the past when if they came to some impasse or the legislature just couldn't get to a compromise, then we tried to step in. But we like to let them work where we can. Here's one example. Okay, thank you, everybody.